It is by my word that you shall live. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my word will never pass away. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from my throne. My word is life. My word is blessing. My word is joy. Take heed to my word. Hide it in your heart. Walk in it during the day. Walk in it at night. Look to it when you rise up. Look to it when you lay down. For it will order your steps to great things. Hallelujah. Amen, amen, amen. Mark chapter 16, starting with verse 1. When the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene, Mary, the mother of James, and Salome brought spices so they could go and anoint him. Very early in the morning, on the first day of the week, they went to the tomb at sunrise. They were saying to one another, "Who will roll away the stone from the entrance of the tomb for us?" Looking up, they observed that the stone, which was very large, had been rolled away. When they entered the tomb, they saw a young man dressed in a long white robe sitting on the right side. They were amazed and alarmed. "Don't be alarmed," he told them. "You are looking for Jesus, the Nazarene, who was crucified. He has been resurrected. He is not here. See the place where they put him? But go, tell his disciples and Peter, he is going ahead of you to Galilee. You will see him there just as he told you." Excuse me. So they went out and started running from the tomb, because trembling and astonishment overwhelmed them, and they said nothing to anyone since they were afraid. Hallelujah. See, God's plan of salvation was so simple that the least among us can grasp it and experience its transforming power. The plan was so profound that no inadequacy has ever, nor will ever, be discovered in it. God's divine strategy sufficiently bridged the gap between man's sinfulness and God's holiness. Through death, through the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ, God sums up his message of the good news to man and opens a doorway for us to come higher and to live an abundant life. When Jesus resurrected, he went from the lowest point to the highest place in heaven, and in doing so, he made it possible for us to be raised also. Jesus was resurrected. He was made alive, raised up to do God's work and carry out his will. God wants to resurrect you today. You love the word this morning? Well, if you don't, by the time we're finished, you will. Amen? Colossians chapter 1, verse 18. See, Jesus had to have the preeminence. And he said, he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have preeminence. He had to be the firstborn from the dead. See, when people died before Jesus was raised, they went to a place called Abraham's bosom. And people who believed in God and believed in Jesus Christ, they went there, and when Jesus died on the cross, he descended down. He spent 3 days in the grave, but on the third day, amen, he came out of the grave, hallelujah, and he is ever living. Right now, he's at the throne of God, and he is making intercession for you and I. And his disciples, they as soon as he was resurrected, they went around in the book of Acts, and they were testifying of his resurrection. You know, they didn't speak about the crucifixion. They talked about the resurrection. As a matter of fact, they talked about the resurrection so much that they were told, don't speak about the resurrection anymore. And they told those leaders, don't tell me what to preach. Said, we're going to obey God rather than man. Amen? The resurrection became such a prominent message that that was their focal point. Hallelujah. You may be going through a tough time, but you can have a resurrection. You can be renewed, restored, and strengthened. Go with me to Matthew chapter 12. Matthew. One boy was asked about the resurrection, and he said, it was amen to the crucifixion. Hallelujah. It was God's amen to the crucifixion. Matthew chapter 12 and verse 40 gives us some insights. Jesus was talking here and he said this, for as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the whale's belly, as so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. Okay? Now there's a little comparison here between Jesus and Jonah. All right? And, hallelujah. See, Jonah was commissioned to go to a city named Nineveh, but he didn't want to go. How many has ever been like Jonah? God's asked you to do something. You're like, I don't think so. I'm going to go the other way. And you're so miserable. You're so awful. No one wants to be around you. See, when you're not doing God's will, you're miserable. You may not know it, but everybody around you sure does. Amen? And Jonah was miserable. And they allowed Jonah on this boat, okay? And all of a sudden, a storm rose. And they lost all the tackle, all the goods. See, so you got to be careful who you let on your boat, right? And Jonah said, look, it's me, it's me. Throw me overboard, and this storm will cease. They said, they tried not to do that, but then they eventually threw Jonah overboard. And this is what Jonah says in Jonah chapter 2, verses 1 through 6. From inside the fish, Jonah prayed to the Lord his God. How many would think to pray from inside a fish? You've been in some pretty dark spots, amen? God can hear you from inside a fish. Listen to this. He said, in my distress, I called on the Lord, and he answered me. From deep in the realm of the dead, I called for help. And you listened to me, to my cry. You hurled me into the depths, into the very heart of the seas. The currents swirled about me. All your waves and breakers swept over me. I said, I have been banished from your sight, yet I will look again toward your holy temple. The engulfing waters threatened me. The deep surrounded me, seaweed was wrapped around my head. To the roots of the mountains I sank down. The earth beneath me barred me in forever. But, everybody say but. But you, Lord my God, brought my life from the pit. Now here's some comparisons that I want to make between Jonah and Jesus. There's a relation there. Jesus said it himself. Jonah and Jesus, let's just say for sake that Jonah was resurrected. Okay? Jonah and Jesus were resurrected. One came out of the grave, one got spit up on the ground. Okay? Jonah was resurrected to preach to Nineveh. Jesus was resurrected to seal our redemption and prove he is the Son of God. All right? Jonah was resurrected to promote God's mercy and grace. Jesus was resurrected to give us a hopeful faith. Jonah was resurrected and went to Nineveh and warned Nineveh of its impending destruction. Jesus was resurrected to invite us to share and experience his resurrection. To receive incorruption, glory, power, and spiritual life. To be restored, to be renewed, to be strengthened. You know, a week ago, I didn't feel as strong as I do now. I was in the greatest physical fight that I have been in a long, long time. Something got into my lungs, and it started with chills. Then it went to a fever, and it was never in my throat or just in my chest. And I was coughing and weak, and I didn't eat for several days. But thank God that I'm doing a whole lot better now. Amen. And maybe you need to be restored. Maybe you need to be renewed. Maybe you need to be strengthened. What a better day to experience these things than on Resurrection Day. Amen? Today is your day. See, to people who have never accepted Jesus Christ, they are still in the grave. They haven't come out of the grave, even though the stone has been rolled away and God made it possible. You know, when he was resurrected, he did not sit in there. Oh, boy, this is a nice grave. I just like this grave. I mean, it's so cool. I mean, I can make it into a nice prayer room. You know, I could come here and not have any other distractions. I could come and pray. He did not do that. See, resurrection has a purpose. It's to resurrect you to your divine purpose. Your divine purpose is to do the will of him who sent you. You're not here to do your will. You're not here to do your mama's will or your papa's will, ultimately. While you're living in their house, yes, you better do their will. But can you see Jesus, his dead body, his lifeless body, as Joseph of Arimathea, he went to Pilate, he said, may I have the body so that I could put it in a tomb that I carved out of a rock? And Pilate granted him his request. And he took the body and he wrapped it in cloths. He laid it in a tomb. All right? Let me just give you a good illustration here. Now here was Jesus' body laying in the tomb. He's wrapped up. And all of a sudden, the greatest supernatural defibrillator from heaven, from on high. Power struck that body, and life came to that body. Life healed all of its organs, restored his strength, renewed his color, removed all the wounds except for the hands and feet and side. You know how they monitor you when you're in the hospital? Doot, 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 right? But when there's a problem, it's called a flat line. And they take those defibrillators, they put some gel on them, they rub them together and say, whatever they say, fire it up or hit me, I don't know. Clear, there you go. And electricity goes into that, and your body jumps, you know, like that. See, I want you to get this picture of when death was turned to life. See, the first thing that life does is life lifts you up. See, you might be in a depressed state, but when life enters you, you all of a sudden get perked up. You're like a percolator, like popcorn in the microwave, right? Those popcorns are coming to life because they're connected with the power source. See, life lifts you up. When God gives you life, He did not give you life just to sit down and do nothing. He gave you life to get up and do something for Him. Tell your story. Tell your friends. Tell your neighbors. There was a man whom Jesus encountered. He was from Gadara. And this man was possessed by lots of devils. He lived out among the tombs. He would be put in chains. He would break the chains. He would scream and cry. And the Bible says he cut himself. Listen, people who cut themselves are demonically influenced. But then the power source came to where he lived, walked on his shores. He got out of the boat, and that devil said, you know, we know who you are. Send him away from us. And that's when Jesus cast the devils into the pigs, and even the pigs didn't want the devils because they ran over the cliff. And the man was in his right mind. For once in a long time, he was clothed. Before, he was running around naked. And he wanted to go back with Jesus. But Jesus said, no. You go and tell others how the Lord has been compassionate on you. See, in a sense, he experienced a resurrection. His chains were broken. His mind was clear. He could think properly, but now he was supposed to be an instrument for God. So life, when it comes in, it lifts you up. It lifted Jesus up. And then life propels you forward. You know, when life came to his body, he walked out of that tomb. And he walked among the people. For 40 days, the Bible said he even showed himself to 500 people at once. Not to mention to his disciples who were in a locked room, and he just showed up. You know, when you're resurrected, you can travel a whole lot different. You can walk through walls. You can just appear and disappear. And as in a resurrected body, you could eat. Jesus said, hey, what do you got any food? Resurrection makes me hungry. So life lifts you, life propels you forward, and then life makes you shine. There was a glow about talking about shining, what Melissa shared with us this morning. There was a glow about Jesus. He would shine. And you know, he could appear and people not even recognize him. He did that to two on the road to Emmaus. He did it to Mary. One of the accounts said she thought he was a gardener. Hallelujah. But he could change his countenance just like that and say, hey, and it's like me. Ooh, hey, Jesus. So life lifts you up, it propels you forward, and it makes you shine. Now, here's what happened to Jesus, okay? Breath entered him, all right? The very same breath that created man entered him again. Jesus got a double breath. He got a double, amen? Breath enters the body. Boom, 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 boom. The heart starts beating. Your blood starts flowing. I mean, you know, whenever you've sat on your leg, like if your leg's in a weird position, you've been sitting on it, and it goes to sleep. And then when the blood rushes to that part, man, it's like, oh, pins and needles, right? Because that's the blood was restricted, but now the blood's flowing to that part, and it's a little bit awkward. Pins and needles. The face became flush. His eyes opened. He looked around. His body got warm. His body got strong. His body stood up and he walked about. God's power made it seem flawless and easy. All things were happening immediately to his body that was dead. His body, he physically died. He took the worst beating that any human being would ever endure, because blood of a pure, spotless lamb needed to be shed to pay for our sins. And because he shed his blood from everything that was cursed, his blood touched, his blood flowed through. Every curse was covered by the blood of Jesus. And it was right around the earthquake, and when it became dark, that the Roman centurion looked and said, truly, this is the Son of God. So, what does that mean for us? Go with me to Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6 gives us the key right here, the summation. We're going to look at verses 5 to 14. Romans 6, verses 5 through 14. Well, you better back up to verse 1. See, today is Resurrection Day. And the question that you have on your mind is, shall we continue in sin? The answer is, he says, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? No. Stop sinning and come to Jesus. Stop the cycle of destruction and thievery. You know, sin steals, kills, and destroys. The only way to stop it is to humble yourself and come to Jesus. That is the only way. The only way you can get into heaven is by accepting Jesus Christ while you're alive. Once you're dead, it's too late. Do it now. Verse 2, God forbid. He answers his own question. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein. We need to stop living to sin and start living for righteousness. Know ye not, verse 3, that so many of us, as were baptized into Jesus Christ, were baptized into his death? Did you know that as much as we were baptized into Jesus Christ, we're also baptized into his death? In other words, we need to be united with his death. What do we need to die to? We need to die to self. Our self, our flesh, has desires that contradict God. You mean a pastor has desires that come? Yeah, absolutely. But, amen, we can crucify those things. Verse 4, therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. We also should. We should go to church, amen? Oh, come on, we've got to get a bigger amen than that. See, God did not raise you from the dead to do nothing. He raised you from the dead to be part of a body that is doing something. Amen? You got to be part of a body. Why? How many arms woke up this morning and said, look, I'm not going to go, you go? How many arms told that to your body, you know, today? You say, you go to church, I'm going to stay here. No. That'd be impossible, wouldn't it? Okay, verse 5, Romans 6. For we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. We need to be united. Amen? We need to be united with Jesus. And just as when Jesus was raised from the dead, he didn't sit in the tomb. He didn't keep his old grave clothes. He got out of the tomb. He put on new clothes. And he continued doing what he did before. That's how we need to be united with his resurrection. Okay? In his death, we died to sin. Now let's be united with his life. There was more said about the resurrection afterwards than there was about the crucifixion before. Verse 6. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified, not going to be, is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. Can you say amen? We do not have to serve sin. Doesn't mean you won't sin. It just means that now when sin knocks on the door, you don't have to answer. You can actually say no. See, what happens is people's spirits are weak. It says, don't do it. It sounds like this. And your body says, do it. Do it. You're used to letting your body dictate to your life. But see, when you get into the resurrection now and you start getting into the Word, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall abide in me. But the abiding in, and what's abiding in you? See, when you've got more Word abiding in you and your body says, no. And your body says, okay. I just thought I'd ask. What happened? See, my spirit has gotten stronger. Therefore, my spirit is in charge, not my body. Because I've been resurrected from death. Sin does not have dominion over me anymore. Listen, when you accept Jesus Christ, you are not just an old sinner. You are a new creature. all new. When you accept Jesus, you're just like Jesus in God's eyes. You're just as righteous, just as holy, just as pure, just as powerful. Why? Because you're using His power. Not your power. Verse 7. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Say, I'm free from sin. Why? Because I'm a dead man. I'll never forget, long time ago, it was actually when I was at Bible school, and I had to do a paper about a move of God or a group or whatever from history. And I was reading an article, and I came across this article, and it said, it was a tough fight, but the old man had to do that. Listen, old man, from here on out, you will die. You will miss God. You will not do what you're supposed to do. You've got to now live by the Spirit, not by your flesh, because your flesh has not been renewed yet, but your spirit is renewed. Amen? See, on the inside of me, there's a brand new me. You know, this shell might be deteriorating, but I'm getting newer and newer on the inside. The Bible says that the hidden man gets newer, newer and newer. Verse 8, Romans 6. Now if we be dead with Christ, why did he say if? Because you've got to choose Christ. If you haven't choose Christ, you are still dead in sin. If you have never accepted Jesus Christ, you're dead, you're a walking dead man. Now if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him too. Amen? Paul talked about the life on the inside, the hope of glory. The life, he said, the life that I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God. Let me ask you a question. After Paul met Jesus, did he persecute anymore? He started living differently. That moment. The moment he met Jesus, he stopped persecuting and started preaching. That tells me that that's good news for us, amen? You can stop doing what you were doing. If you were a gossip, stop. If you're a liar, stop. If you're an angry person, stop. If you're a stingy person, stop. If you're a sourpuss, stop. Have a spiritual fruit smoothie. Where is stinginess in the fruit of the Spirit? Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, kindness, patience, faithfulness. Self-control. Everybody say self-control. Did you know that's a fruit of the Spirit? When you do something and you say, I just couldn't help myself, you just lied. It's true. I couldn't help it. Yes, you could. Verse 9. We're almost done. Knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dies no more, death has no more dominion over him. That means anytime he encounters death, he can change it into life. Because death has no more dominion over him. completely free. When Jesus resurrected, he didn't even concern himself about stubbing his toe. Why? Death has no more dominion over him. His body was flesh and bone after he was resurrected. Remember when he let the disciples touch him? He said, spirits don't have flesh and bone. What happened to the blood? It was all shed for you and I. It was presented to the Father at the mercy seats. Remember when Mary first went to touch him? He said, don't touch me. I haven't ascended to my Father yet. He had to present his blood at the mercy seats so that he had to make sure the payment was complete. And when he went to heaven and presented his blood to the mercy seat, the Father said, all their sins are forgiven. Do you know the resurrection? I mean, not as a historical fact, but as a personal experience. There is resurrection power that we can have. Verse 10, Romans 6. But in that he died unto sin once. But in that he lives unto God. Now, see, that's my point today. You've got to stop doing the sinful things and start living for God. And if you don't know what to do, ask your pastor. If you don't have a pastor, step number one, get a pastor. You know what was funny the other on Wednesday night? There were a few of us talking. And I was kind of tired. And so the few of us that were, I just went ahead of them. And I started to go out and they started asking. I said, the shepherd follow. It was funny. Verse 11. I like Paul. Paul was a good southern man. He said, you reckon. Verse 11. Likewise, reckon you yourself also to be dead. I'm on purpose. Southern. I did live in Tennessee for six years, though. A nice southern accent. Likewise, reckon you also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Now, not bad for a good northern boy, right? Reckon yourselves dead to sin and alive to God. Amen? Say, I'm not dead. I'm alive. Say, God's not dead, and I'm not either. I'm alive. Amen. Reckon yourselves to be dead to sin, but alive to God through Jesus Christ. Verse 12. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body. Oh. If the Bible didn't put that in there, I guess we wouldn't have any responsibility. But man, he put that in there. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body that you should obey its lust thereof. You can't go around saying the devil made me do it. He can't make an ant do anything. How can a toothless, naked madman make you do anything? When you say no in Jesus' name, verse 13, neither yield your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin. This all has to do with being united to the resurrection. But yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto. That means when God calls, you answer. If I call for prayer today and you need prayer, don't sit in your seats. What are you doing? You're resisting the Holy Ghost if you do that. You know that people can put a smile on their face in church service and resist the Holy Ghost? They can resist what they want to do in his life, what he wants to do in their life, simply by not yielding. You know, Stephen had a word for the people. Like, he called them stiff-necked. Remember in Acts 7 when they couldn't argue against him, but they tried, and eventually they just had to kill him? Because they could, I mean, if you can't win an argument, kill your opponent. That's a good way to win, right? It was the early church. But he called them stiff-necked, unwilling to yield to the Holy Ghost. Let me tell you something. When God calls, he wants to do something to you. He wants to do something for you because he loves you. He never in any way, shape, or form, never will God embarrass you. Never will God harm you. Never will God hurt you. Ever, ever, ever. God is a good God. He's a loving Father. We're at our last verse. And the people said, amen. For sin, verse 14, shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law, but under grace. You are under the gift, the loving, gift-giving goodness of God. You are under grace. But grace is not a license to do what you want to do. Grace is an endowment of power to do what he wants you to do. Amen? So today is Resurrection Day. That's the words that I got for today. Renew, restore, and strengthen. Maybe you need to renew your relationship with Jesus Christ. Jesus, but for whatever reason, you let the cares of this world come in and they start choking the word. And when the word gets choked, you get further and further and further away from God. And you make excuses. Why this? Why that? You got an excuse. Let me tell you something. Your excuses are useless. Just humble yourself and come to Jesus. Amen. If you do not know Jesus today, if you've never invited Jesus to be Lord of your life, step number one, you need to have Jesus in your heart. He comes by invitation. Say, Jesus, come into my heart, come into my life, be Lord over my life. And when you say that, he will. Is there anybody here that would say, Pastor Doug, I've never accepted Jesus, and I would like to today. I want to see by your raised hand your unashamed belief in God. Amen? Is there someone that would say, Pastor Doug, I need to accept Jesus as my Lord and Savior? Okay? That means that you're all born again. That means that if something happens to you tomorrow, you know where you're going to spend eternity. But I know that there are some people that need to be renewed, restored, and strengthened. Secondly, maybe you're like the prodigal son. You asked for your father's inheritance, and you have been enjoying spending your money, but now you're in the pig pen. And now your only hope is to come back home to the Father. Let me tell you something. He does not condemn, but he receives. Maybe you need to renew your relationship with Jesus. Come and get your relationship with him renewed today. Amen? Let him stoke the fire that's in your heart. And thirdly, if you need to be strengthened, the best way to be strengthened is to be baptized with the Holy Spirit. John said, I baptize you with water for the removal of sin, but he who comes after me is greater than I. He will baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Amen? And the Bible said that if the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in you, see, listen, when you accept Jesus, you do get the Spirit of God, but there's an additional experience called the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Amen? And what happens is when you get baptized in fire, you speak in other languages. Supernatural. So, who are the people that are here today? Don't be embarrassed. You need to be renewed, restored. Maybe you need health restored. Is there some people here that need some health restored today in the name of Jesus? God's a restorer of health. He's a giver of life. He is the author and the finisher of faith. Come and get your health restored today. Come and be renewed.